Now, local news from Montana Public Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Capital Talk, our weekly legislative analysis program. I'm Sally Mock and I'm joined by lead newspaper Capital reporters Chuck Johnson and Mike Dennison. And guys, it's good to be back on the air with you.
Boy, isn't it though? Here we are, 2015.
I would agree. It's going to be fun, Sally.
Before we get to the events of the week, Chuck, I think we should first tell our listeners what we're wearing and whether it's appropriate. What do you guys got on?
Well, I'm wearing a brown houndstooth jacket, brown slacks, brown shoes, kind of a shade of brown tie and a yellow shirt. So I think I meet the dress code.
And Mike?
Well, it must be a brown day today because I also have my camel hair jacket and my brown Art Deco tie with heather brown slacks and brown shoes as well. So here we are.
Well, I'm in fleece head to toe, and that would have been banned under, of course, what we're referring to, which is a controversial dress code that Republicans proposed before the session began and then quickly retracted. I think everyone's looking pretty demure and dressed as they should be, don't you guys?
Yeah, I haven't seen anyone flouncing about in absurd miniskirts or plunging necklines today, at least. Kind of cold out there.
Representative Woods from Bozeman, Tom Woods, was wearing a kilt on Monday.
That's right, and looking very sharp, I thought. Well, Chuck, these first few days are probably the most polite of the session, with everyone calling for cooperation and civility. And here's how House Speaker Austin Knutson put it on the first day.
To that end, I encourage each of you, come to me with your goals for the session. Let me help you in making your goals a reality. Communicate with me, and I will do my utmost to communicate with you. We are all elected here to do the Montana people's work, and that will only happen if we can work together in a respectful, civil manner.
And Chuck, the House Speaker is asking everyone to make nice, and they usually do for a while anyway.
That's right. And the first day is a day when all their families and friends are there, and it's a day of photos and well-wishing, and then they get down to business. And you know, there are serious differences between the two parties and the two houses in some cases, and we'll start seeing those emerge in the coming weeks. But I was at a meeting Thursday with Governor Bullock, who's a Democrat, and the Senate Republican leaders, headed by the Senate President Debbie Barrett, and we all thought there might be some discussion of issues, but it was just really an exchange of pleasantries and kind of in keeping with what Austin Knutson said earlier in the week.
And, of course, this is necessary. They have to at least lay the groundwork for civility. I mean, you can't start out with putting bottom-line challenges out there. And who knows? Maybe there will be, actually, after the cantankerousness of the last session, maybe there will be a genuine effort this time.
I think they'll try. You know, the last time, though, as you remember, the some of the biggest fights were internal fights in the Republican caucus in both houses. So we'll see. It's just too early to tell.
And Mike, one of the first tests of cooperation really has come over the rules governing the House, and especially over one proposed change in particular that had Democrats crying foul.
Yes, and a few Republicans as well. We're talking about a change that was actually proposed initially by Representative Greg Hertz of Polson and supported by the leadership of the Republican Party. This change would say that if a bill comes to the floor and is approved by a majority of the House, and then the Speaker says, well, I'm going to send that down to the Appropriations Committee. Right now, that can be overruled with 51 votes. This rule change made it 60 votes, so harder to do that. And the idea, I think, on the majority's part was if there was a bill they didn't like that had a bunch of money in it, and they wanted to send it down to Appropriations to kill it, it would be harder for the full body to reverse that action. And Democrats and as I said, some Republicans felt this was a real power play by the leadership, and the leadership relented. That earlier this week in the Rules Committee, they said, "Okay, we'll take back this rule," and they got rid of it. And that, you know, of course, came to the floor this week, and it's going to remain as such.
And again, that is a good sign anyway that the Speaker did not choose to get into a big fight over this right away and that Republicans and Democrats came together to not approve that rule.
Yeah, I thought so. Although, of course, you know, they still have the majority, the Republican majority, 59 to 41, you know, still maintains the power in the body. And the key will be whether Austin Knutson and his co-leaders can keep that majority together and not have, you know, 10 or more Republicans splitting off and teaming up with the 41 Democrats on whatever major issue they may choose to do that.
Well, and Chuck, one of the things we're watching this session is the influence of the conservative wing of the Republican Party. And one area where that will play out is in education legislation. And there's going to be a big push for charter schools.
Yes, Knutson appointed Sarah Laslaffy to be the chair of the House Education Committee. She comes with a background of her father heading the Montana Family Foundation, an organization based in Laurel. And it's been the leading proponent of private schools in Montana.
She, in fact, was homeschooled herself, right?
Yeah, she was homeschooled, and already public school advocates, including the teachers union leader Eric Fever, have been highly critical of her appointment. But, you know, really the makeup of that committee is not much different than it was 2 years ago. So we'll see what happens. But and I'd be very surprised if a private school bill got by Governor Bullock, but there may be an effort to put it on the ballot as a referendum, which doesn't go to the governor for a potential veto.
And then, Mike, Medicaid expansion will be another big fight, and Governor Bullock wants to add 70,000 Montanans to Medicaid coverage, and Republicans have their own plan that would cover a lot fewer Montanans, but they argue would save the state a lot of money.
The main difference between the two is that this proposal from the Republicans does not want to accept the federal money under Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, to expand Medicaid to everyone making less than 138% of the federal poverty level, whereas the governor wants to accept that money. And it's a substantial amount of money. I mean, we're talking, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars over the next several years and on into the future. And the big fight is going to be whether we accept that money or not. You know, there are some Republicans who say, yeah, we'll take the money, but we want to make some reforms and changes and maybe do some tweaks here and there. They don't want to just accept it carte blanche. But the majority of Republicans in the legislature do not want to accept that money, saying it's a new welfare program. We don't need it. It's going to cost us too much. It's going to cost the federal government too much. And that's where the fight will be.
And, of course, the Republicans' suggested plan would cover fewer Montanans because their argument is that there are, quote, able-bodied Montanans who could find enough work to qualify for coverage elsewhere and that they shouldn't be on Medicaid. And then the Democrats are arguing that that's not really the case.
Well, I think it kind of is the case. I mean, there are, you know, I don't know how many, but there are a lot of able-bodied childless adults who would become eligible under this, under the governor's plan and the president's plan, and would be covered by Medicaid. And what the Republicans are saying is, look, under the Affordable Care Act, if these guys can get a job, say making minimum wage, they're going to be making enough money to qualify them to get subsidies, quite substantial subsidies, to buy private insurance. And that's what they should do instead of just getting free government insurance.
Well, that'll be one of the more interesting arguments as the session goes on, certainly. And one event, Chuck, this week that had bipartisan support and celebration was the unveiling of a new mural celebrating the contribution of women to Montana's history. And this was a mural created by Missoula artist Hadley Ferguson. Stunning.
They're stunning. There are actually two murals, one on either side of the grand staircase as you go up to the third floor, and they depict kind of women throughout Montana history, women homesteaders, women doing all sorts of activities. And the reason that the legislature decided to authorize it a few years ago was that some of the legislators, women legislators in particular, noticed that there were not many women depicted in the art of the Capitol. And they raised the money privately, $60,000, and commissioned the art. And Ms. Ferguson was the winner, and they had the grand unveiling Wednesday, and a lot of dignitaries spoke, including the First Lady of Montana, Linda Moss, who I believe carried the bill, and others, and it was quite a celebration. And the Senate President, Debbie Barrett, who's the first woman ever elected Senate President of Montana, was there to speak, and it was quite a wonderful celebration.
Well, here's what Billings Representative Linda Moss had to say about the mural's significance.
My vision for the murals is that it would inspire young women and young girls, my daughter and my granddaughter, to really think about their role in public policy and to see themselves in the artwork in the Capitol and really feel that the People's House is the house of everyone.
And one thing we should point out, Chuck, too, is that there are more women than ever serving in the Montana legislature this session.
That's correct. And I believe I'm correct. I stand to be corrected, but I believe there are a majority of women in both the Democratic House and Democratic Senate caucuses. Mm-hmm. And that's a first, too, I think.
Well, Mike, next week the pace will steadily pick up. There will be many more committee hearings and many more bills that there will be testimony about, and things are going to be not quite as calm as this first week has been.
That's right. We're going to start looking at the budget much more closely, and we'll find out just where some of the Republican leaders want to take the budget. We presume to be at a lower level than the governor, and there's going to be, I'm sure we'll see a Medicaid bill from the governor come forth. The battle is going to be joined starting next week.
Well, we will reconvene next Friday to talk about that battle. And I have been speaking with Lee newspaper reporters Mike Dennison and Chuck Johnson. And you've been listening to Capital Talk. I'm your host, Sally Mock. Mike and Chuck, thanks.
All right. Thanks. See you next week.
Thank you, Sally.